Blog Talk Radio.
A change has come over me. He changed my life. And now I'm free. Jermaine is coming at this time.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. We just give honor to God tonight, who is definitely the head of my life. Thanking God for another Thursday. Praising Him, praising Him, praising Him, because we see another day. We see another Thursday, another blog. And we're just grateful and so grateful to God for giving us another opportunity to be amongst the living. We're thanking God tonight for life, health, and strength, God. We thank you, Lord God, for just being with us, blessing us, keeping us, God, directing us, and leading us, Father. We are thankful, so, so thankful, God, that you loved us enough to save us, God, loved us enough to keep us, Father. And we're just so grateful, Father, for all that you've given us, all that you have done for us, all that you're doing and all that you're going to do, God. We just give you the glory, honor, and praise because you are definitely, definitely worthy of all the praise. God, I thank you right now, Father, for each and every person that's on this line. I thank you right now, Father, for their family members, God. I thank you, Lord God, for deliverance, God. I thank you for health. Thank you, God, for our homes. And there's so many, so much more that I have to thank you for and don't want to take it for granted that we have food and shelter and cars to ride and a home to live in, clothes to put on our back, family, friends, God. I thank you right now. Sometimes your friends are closer to you than your family members, and I thank God for those friends, God. I thank you right now for just deliverance from bad thoughts, deliverance from evil ways, Father. I thank you for when I was doing what I thought I was big and bad enough to do, you saved me from those things. And I know I have a long way to go, but I thank you, Lord God, because I'm not who I used to be. So I thank you, Lord God, for all that, God. And I thank you that you're going to purge me and cleanse me, and you're going to change me even the more, Father. I thank you for these things. Hallelujah. I just thank you. And I just give you glory, honor, and praise, Father, for just being who you are, and I thank God for who I am. So we give you the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. We thank God for you all for being with us tonight. We thank God for yet another blog that's going to be so amazing and so awesome because we are here in the midst. We thank God because He's already here. The atmosphere is already set. So we already know that we're going to have a Holy Ghost party tonight. We know that a Holy Ghost party won't stop. And we just thanking God that we're going to have a great time in Him on tonight. So I hope that you are ready. I hope that you came with your minds open. I hope that you came ready and excited to just praise God and to serve Him on tonight, to worship Him, to praise Him. I thank God that each and every person on this line tonight has a testimony. I don't know what your testimony may be, but you have a testimony because you're here. So I thank God that when I open these lines up tonight, I'm going to ask you that if you have a praise report or a testimony that you press one, I'm already excited to hear what God has done for you. And if He's only done the minimum of what you think is the minimum, in which is He woke me up this morning, I was able to walk, I was able to talk, hey, that's a testimony because a lot of people are not able to say that on tonight. I know one of a person from my hometown, she's bearing her granddaughter, a little girl, on Saturday. So a lot of people did not make it tonight, to just this hour right here. So if you are on this line tonight, you already have a testimony. So I'm asking you all, each and every one of you, to, you know, we're going to give God the praise. You know, we are bragging about a whole lot of stuff. We brag about what we drive, what, you know, who did this for me, what I had, this, that, and other. But when it comes down to bragging on God, we kind of sit back and, you know, kind of chill. But tonight, we're going to just give God the glory, the honor, and the praise on tonight because definitely He's worthy of all of these things. So I'm going to ask you if you will press 1 on your phone. I will recognize you. I'll open up your lines. And let's just give God the glory and honor and praise tonight. And once you're finished, press 1 again, and I'll take you out of the queue. So we are thankful on tonight. Press 1. I'm waiting for 1 to, you know, for the first one who has something good to say about what God has done for you. Amen, amen. 2767, your line is open.
I just want to say that I thank God that I don't look like, and my situation is really not like what I feel like. I want to thank God for just being here today, realizing, like you said, that a lot of people didn't make it. Thank God for who I'm becoming. And I just want to thank him for, like you said, I'm glad I'm not the person who I used to be. I'm continuing to give God praise regardless of what I go through and what I'm going through. I realize that it's all a smokescreen because on the other side, it's nothing but victory. It's nothing but glory. And I just want to thank God just for being here.
Amen. Amen. My sister. Hallelujah. Thank God. She says she is glad and grateful. She don't look like what she's been through. And that's a lot of our testimonies, because I tell you what, that's my testimony. If the stuff that I've been through, and if I look like what I went through, oh, man, what a sight I would be. Waiting on you to just press one, and I'll recognize you. But tonight is testimony night. We are going to thank God. Hallelujah. 1250, your line is open. One, two, five, zero. If the last four digits, 1250, your line is open. Okay, I'll come back to you. 1436, your line is open.
Good afternoon. How everybody doing?
Praise God. Hallelujah.
Evangelist Maria. My testimony is that I'm a cancer survivor. When I first discovered I had cancer in 2016, I was going blind in both eyes. But my husband had took me to a doctor, and he told them to take me to Grady, which Grady couldn't find out what's wrong with me. So we end up in, I'm trying to make it short, we end up in Emory. So the Emory doctor discovered I had cancer. He called Hodgkin's lymphoma. He says, right. That's right. And they took some spinal fluid from my back and said it was all over my body, even into my brain. It was just everywhere. And I am a blessing to be alive. I could have been totally blind, but I'm on the total. They say I'm totally blind in my left eye and partially blind in my right eye. But God still gave me the light to see. I don't see as good as I used to, but if I can read his words and pray, that's a blessing to me. Because first my body was rejecting the chemo. It made me went totally blind. I couldn't see nothing. I was having problem breathing. I kept coughing, like my lungs were closing up. I was itching like I was in a bed of ants or whatever. My body was rejecting it real bad. And I started screaming and hollering, telling them, I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't breathe. My throat was stopping up. And I just knew I was dying. And all I could do is call on God. I just called on God. Help me, Lord Jesus. I always say, help me, Lord Jesus. Help me, please, Lord. Don't let me die like this. And a doctor knew that I was allergic to it. So I thank God for letting him know that. So they went and got like a, something you call a counteract to what this situation going through. And they gave me about five or six different medicines before I could get back on the machine. I had to get totally be okay. So that took about 30 minutes, a little bit more. And I started feeling a lot better. And they put me back on the chemo. And after I got on the chemo, and they wanted me to do the PICC line. The PICC line where they take this long little, it's like a little needle, but it's like a long string, you know, like you're stretching a long piece of cord into your arm. And then you roll it through your vein and go all the way up and back down to your chest, almost to your heart. And I was doing chemo through that, but my arm was swelling. And they had to take that out, but they wanted to put a PICC line in. So I said, no. I said, I'm just going to let y'all just stick it to my veins or let you get blood. I just had to deal with it. So for a long time, I guess about 2 years, I had to take chemo that way. It was painful to go in there three times a week until they cut it down to two times a week. And I had to do that. And I was just getting weaker and weaker and weaker. But I had almost given up. But I went to sleep one night, and a song kept coming through my spirit. as I was asleep. Supernatural faith he gave you. Supernatural faith he gave you. And I kept on hearing that song over and over and over and over. And I found myself saying, Lord, I can't give up on you. You never gave up on me. You still with me, Lord. I'm still here. So I got up out of bed. I forgot I had surgery. I got up out of bed and started walking around the hospital corridor on the floor that I was on, you know, just around to the desk and back to my room. And the nurse would tell me, Sam, you know, you're not supposed to be out walking. I said, I know, but I forgot. And I just went on and laid back down and started crying, and I was just praising God. God, I'm really lucky to be alive. Here I am wanting to give up. And during all that process, God gave me something to do to take my mind off of it because my husband couldn't come and see me like he wanted to. But God took my mind off of it. God let me start reading scriptures and writing out little scriptures to people that kept me busy. And he let me know who to give them to. And I was just giving them this. Some of them came back crying and told me, how did I know? I said, I didn't know God did. And that made me joyful. I wasn't homesick no more. I wasn't missing nobody. I was kind of really got used to being up there, you know. And God showed favor to people. They respected me. They did a lot for me, you know. Normally they wouldn't go out their way, but they did. When I get lunch, they would fix me a big lunch and everything. And I praise God for that. Because, you know, when it comes to them, then if I tell them the guy stuck me the wrong way with the needle and he didn't put it in right, they addressed it. But by the time they did this on my right arm, which they weren't supposed to be doing chemo in, it got big as a little blimp. And it was so big and hurt so bad, I just couldn't see it because of my sight. I kept crying and I put it on and told them, y'all, please come check on me. My arm don't feel right. Okay, Miss Hine, we coming. But God was still there with me doing all that process. And when she came in and saw, she said, oh, my God, that let me know I was in trouble. So I just started praying to God and talking to God and praying to God and talking to God. And then when I did, he gave me something for it. And it put my one on to sleep. And I woke up by the grace of God, in the name of Jesus, the arm had gone down a lot. So I am a walking testimony. I had a 28-pound tumor, like a big turk, Thanksgiving turk. I think I still got that picture somewhere around here. Anyway, when they got ready to take it out, they thought it was going to be like a bikini cut. But when they saw how big and huge, they had to give me something like a cesarean. And then it was so, where it was connected to one of my veins, it was feeding off of one of my veins. That's why it was getting so big. And when they decided to take it out, they had to put stuff back, but they put some of the parts in me. They put it back wrong, just like a robot. But they put some parts wrong because certain things that y'all could do normal, I wouldn't do normal, you know. So if I hold in, I'll come down. If I put, you know, it's different. You know, I ain't going to go through all the detail, but it's a different way. And they left me like that for years, and I'm still like that. But I thank God to be alive. At least I'm alive. At least I still can function. You know, function. Maybe not as good as I will used to, but I thank God I can function. And I just thank him for that. I almost ran off a cliff. God stopped the brakes on the car, and he ended up hanging off the back of a little cliff and a tree car stopped it. I'm still here to get that testimony. But I'm going to just say, I got so many miracles that God has shown and done for me that I could never have enough time to thank him or tell everybody about it, because I know a lot more people got some miracles to tell and some testimony of what God has done to them. And the one more I want to say, I owe $1,300 on my house. And me and my husband was bad. We prayed. And one day I got a letter in the mail saying, if you pay $587, your house will be paid for. We didn't know where the money was going to come from, but God did. Next thing we know, I guess a week later, we got a check in the mail for about $3,000, I think. And we paid the house off and paid everything that was needed to be paid. And we just know it, we're nobody but God. We always, at this day, we claim it. We're nobody but God in the name of Jesus. And that's my testimony.
Amen. 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 She has a lot to be thankful for and a lot of praises. And that's what I'm telling you. God is able. He does great things. And he keeps doing great things for us. We're going to try 1-2-5-0 again. Your line is open.
Praise God. God bless you, my sister. Thank you for this opportunity.
my testimony is just here, just thanking God for just saving me from where I was young. I thank God for giving me parents who set the foundation. As I think as we're going through this pandemic and everything else, I'm not sure what people who don't know God, I'm not sure what they're doing at all. And I just thank God for just keeping me and keeping my family in health and spirit and my testimony, even financially. God, we didn't miss a beat during the pandemic. We weren't sick. Like, this is nobody but God in the midst of all of this. And I just thank him for just keeping them and keeping my family. And another testimony I want to share is doctors gave up on my middle child years ago when she had Tourette's syndrome. The school system gave up on her. And I gave God two things. I sold a seed. And one of those seeds that I sold was for my daughter's health. I was only told to sell one, but I sold two. My daughter is a junior in college. She is healed. She's walking. She's normal. She's a manager. Nobody but God can do that. And I just thank God for just doing that and then using her life in the way that he did. And so I'm so grateful for God, and he has gotten me through all of this. So thank you for allowing me to share.
Man. Amen, amen, amen. If anybody else has a testimony or praise report, press one. I can recognize you. If not, I'll give you the word from Jesus calling. My word for tonight is, I am perpetually with you, taking care of you. That is the most important fact of your existence. I am not limited by time or space. My presence with you is a forever promise. You need not fear the future, for I am already there. When you make that quantum leap into eternity, you will find me awaiting you in heaven. Your future is in my hands. I release it to you day by day, moment by moment. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. I want you to live this day abundantly, seeing all there is to see, doing all there is to do. Don't be distracted by future concerns. Leave them to me. Each day of life is a glorious gift, but so few people know how to live within the confines of today. Much of their energy for abundant living spills over the timeline and into tomorrow's worries or past regrets. Their remaining energy is sufficient only for limping through the day, not for living it to the full. I am training you to keep your focus on my presence and the present. This is how to receive abundant life, which flows freely from my throne of grace. We have a few scriptures. The first one, Matthew 6:34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. James 4:13-15. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to this or to that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why you do not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Praise God for that word. We're just so grateful. I'm so grateful. I have testimony after testimony after testimony. So I just thank God for just continuing to save my life, continue to be with me. I've had so many events that he saved me for: October, COVID, February, accident that was major. Last Wednesday, another accident, a four car. And I thank God because I'm here, I'm well, walking, talking, and I'm just so grateful because God has done it again. Now that's my new saying. I've been just saying, God, you have done it again, and you just keep doing it again and again and again. So therefore, God is telling me I have something that I need to be doing, because he's giving me chance after chance after chance to continue to live. So I just thank God for all that he's done, and I just want to please him. I do. I definitely want to, I don't want to disappoint God. I have to, you know, each day try to live my life in a way in which I don't disappoint him, just like I never want to disappoint my mother. I don't want to disappoint God. So I try, and I do. I walk out the house. I ask for permission first, and then I put on the full armor, and then I go, and my days are good. So if you start your days off with God, you'll have a great day. If it, you know, if you don't have time, then get up a little bit earlier. Just start your day off with God and watch how he works for you. You'll have great days. Your days that you would usually have that may be kind of crummy, kind of awful. I don't even know what I was trying to say just now, but those days that might be a little awful will turn into sunshine, great days. Try and see. Start your day off with God with prayer and devotion. And, you know, Pastor Flint had us reading Psalms 91 all weekend, put on the full armor of God all weekend. We were supposed to anoint our doorposts. I don't know how many of you all were on last week, and I don't know how many of you all were obedient to it, but I did, and it's been great, because in that Psalms 91, it says no plague or any disease will come to you. So I stand on that, because we are now dealing with a pandemic, a plague, and it's not going to, it has touched, but it won't touch again. And I thank God, and even when my husband was supposedly having COVID and pneumonia, and I've never seen anybody who's supposed to be that sick that was so well. So God is a mighty good God, because they said COVID and pneumonia, and this man was around here like you would never believe. I couldn't tell he was sick, but that's what the doctor said. And then I was still here with him in the same bed and tested negative twice. So I just thank God. No plague or disease will touch this right here. My family, they're covered. I keep them covered. So I just thank God for what he's doing. If no one else has a testimony or a praise report to that they want to brag about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for you, then I will turn it over to Pastor Flint, because we're going to have an awesome, awesome, awesome word coming from him. Not him, from God, using his servant, Pastor Flint. So, Pastor Flint, if you're ready, I will open up your line. And we're going to pray for Pastor Flint, because I don't know how many of you know, but he is in a whole different country, and thanking God and asking God to continue to strengthen him, because he's in 7 hours, so it's 8:03, so it's almost 4 o'clock in the morning where he is, and he's still on here tonight. So we thank God for his strength. We thank God for his safety. We're just praising God, and praising God even some more for all that he's over there doing, and we're just asking God to continue to bless him and keep him and just close these deals so that he can get himself back to the United States. So, Pastor Flint, your line is open. Pastor Flint?
Mm-hmm. Okay, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God for the testimonies and the praise reports. Hey, one person said, I'm no longer. I mean, the song was awesome, song selection anyway, because you're talking about being changed, talking about who you used to be, talking about how you used to be. And that's how you evangelize, that's how you witness. You know, I've been changed. You know, I'm not what I want to be, but Lord knows I'm not what I used to be. So, Father, we just thank you right now, God. We praise you. We worship you and magnify your name. Somebody mute the phone. Mute the phone. And Father, we thank you, God. We praise you. We worship you. We magnify your name. Lord God, we thank you for this day that you have made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. Father, thank you for life, health, and strength, Father. Father, we ask for forgiveness for the things that we've said, done, or thought against your will, against your way. And grieve your Holy Spirit in any such way, Father. Father, we repent right now, God. We repent for all our ways that have not been pleasing to you, God. Things of omission, things of commission, things knowing and unknowing, God. Father, we ask for your total forgiveness, God, as we forgive those who have wronged us in any such way, God. Father, we release ourselves from every word, curse spoken to us, spoken from us, spoken against us. And Father, we thank you, God, that our iniquities of our fathers and forefathers and mothers, our mother's side, and that God, these things will not stick to us. They will not even be an affliction to us, Father. Thank God for generational curses being broken, God, of our lives, God. Generational curses of poverty, and not even just a poverty physical, but a poverty mindset, Father. God, we thank God for generational curses of mental health, God, and health issues of, they said, they always ask you in the hospital, that you got a history of this or that, or high blood pressure, or diabetes, or heart conditions. Then they ask you the next question, do you have any family members with it? And then, you may have those, so you put yes down. But here's what we're saying. That is not my portion. It will not stick to us, God. Generational curses, God, of failure and coming up short, God. Failure to enter your breakthroughs. That delay period. No, God, we thank you, God, that today is our breakthrough day. This is our Exodus. From everything that wasn't like us, God, we talked about it the last night, but this is, last Thursday, but this is our Exodus, God, that for the things that have been holding us back, have been keeping us away from being what you'd have us to be, that stopped us from doing what you want us to do. But God, we thank you right now. We praise you and we worship you. And Father, as we continue to move forward, we decrease that you increase, Father. Father, your word said, whatever we bind on earth, we bind in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth, we loose in heaven, Father. And we loose ourselves from ourselves. We release ourselves from ourselves, God, from that filthy thinking, God, and that we're the victim and not knowing who we are, God, the identity crisis that has plagued us for so long, Father. We are king's kids. We are royalty. We are peculiar people. True enough. We are apostles. We are prophets. We are pastors. We are evangelists. We are teachers. We are those who just nurse in love. We are nurturers. And we're the children of the Most High, one and true living God. For this, we give you praise. For this, we say thank you. Holy Spirit, this is your service. Take complete control. We decrease that you increase. It's all of you and all of us. So whether that's in the area where you are lacking, do take control. Thank you and we praise you and we worship you. Son, just name praying, so it is. All right, so as y'all heard, eventually I say I'm in another country. And it's funny. I feel like Jonah a little bit while I'm over here. You know, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh. Jonah's like, no, I ain't gonna go down. Cause I'm gonna tell them the word. They're gonna repent. I'm gonna change them. And so Jonah just ran. Over 15 years ago, ministers, associates of mine, and there were two countries they kept telling me I need to go. You gotta go to them. You gotta preach them. We gonna set it up. This and that. One was Haiti. The other one was Kenya. Like, my God ain't told me, I just said it all the time, man. I ain't going to Kenya. God ain't told me to go down. So here's where I'm at now. I'm in Nairobi, Kenya, as we speak. On some other business, which is still kingdom business, but it wasn't to go do any revival, whatever. But hey, they say you want to make God laugh, tell him your plan. Now I'm over here. Now I got to meet with some ministers in the morning. Look at this man. I came for something totally different. As a matter of fact, wasn't even a central location for the reason I came. I came to do some stuff, but God, we just praise God. We just praise God. We just praise God. The other day, I got a driver that's over there. He takes me around places. He said, you want to see the slum in Africa? That's what they call the slums. You know, we call it the ghetto or whatever. But no, they call it the slums. And so the place we went to is the largest slum community in the whole continent of Africa. And it's so large, it took us an hour to go through it. And we've seen poverty at a level like you've never seen before. And these people, sure enough, they want better. They desire more. But you can see how, that's what you call the village. They continue to strive for whatever they're striving for. But it was a certain area we got into. And my driver, he lives in an area pretty much. He says, I live in the slum too. But it's not like this place I'm going to take you to. So we got to a certain area. He's like, man, this is tough living, man. This is hard. And when you got that, you seen children and it was dirty and I know we always say dirty like it's mean something like, but this area had no water and no toilets in their homes. So sometimes they couldn't bathe, they couldn't clean themselves properly. And even in this pandemic, I mean, I'm sure it was bad before then, but in this pandemic, it's worse because sanitization is the combatant. So, like, you can't really bathe or wash your hands or use the restroom properly. That's a problem. That's a problem at any times. So when you routinely, you know, we say our testimonies or we say our praise reports, and here's our praise report. And we this is something that we continue to take for granted until you understand how real this stuff is or how real it can be or how you say, man, I'm complaining, but if somebody want to be in your shoes. Like I said, well, I'm truly giving honor to God who's head of my life. Thank God for waking me up with fresh blood, running warm through my veins, the activity of my limbs, my joints in place. Then we go there and say, I thank God for a roof over my head, clothes on my back, shoes on my feet. But these people didn't have all them situations. They were like in some tin cans. Some houses were made like just mud, like a Pueblo or something. And then other ones, like aluminum. You know what I mean? So they did their business. Now, they still had all their businesses going. Like, it may be a nail salon or a beauty barbershop. It might be somebody cooking food. It might be a little convenience store selling their little cellular products or whatever it needed. It was all those things. And on that whole road, you saw stuff like that. But what I'm trying to tell you, in that same situation, they lived in that house, in that same building. And that building, probably no bigger than your bathroom. I'm exaggerating, but some of them wasn't. I know some of them probably the size of mine. I ain't going to even go there. But here's what I'm saying. The key thing, we always say hot and cold, clean, running water. Certain things like that, you don't understand the value of such until you experience someone who does not have such. Hot and cold, clean, running water. And then when they do get water, they go to the bathroom. It's a place that's around the corner. I saw that one before we were leaving out, that there was a place that they got to pay, you know, money, a certain price to use the toilet. And they got to pay for water. what you did on people that's poverty that don't have money like that. Now, my mom, she said one time she went to Nicaragua and she saw that the people was bathing and drinking from the same water that the animals was doing that thing in. Man, that's so unsanitary. So when you say, okay, God, I thank you for this and I thank you for that, really, truly, close your eyes and think about what where you are and where you could be. So as we was driving through, right, this song my mom used to sing a long time ago just stayed in my head, and I'm going to share some of it with you, but I couldn't get it out of my head. I couldn't get the song out of my head at all, and I couldn't get the fact that every time I got an opportunity to help somebody, I did. Every time I got an opportunity to bless somebody, I did. Now, it's beggars, and that's their job out here. You know, some of them are beggars, some of them are what they call mad people. You know, that's some people that's out of their mind and, you know, really demonically possessed. And so my driver, he'll roll the windows up when people come up to the car and certain things like that. He's like, no, leave them be. But here, let me tell you something. I can imagine that man at the palace, that beggar that sat there every day. And he approached a man named Peter with his hand out. He said, seven gold have I not. Excuse me. But such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And so faith touched faith and got results. But the song says, if I can help somebody as I travel along my way, then my living shall not be in vain. See, listen, man, it doesn't take everybody. You don't have to save everybody. You can just impact one person's life, and that person turn around and impact another person's life. And there's a chain reaction of the impact of the word being done and the foundation being laid and the love of God being shown. In my living, how many know you're living? If you can help one somebody on your journey, then your living should not be in vain. Oftentimes we say we're blessed to be a blessing, but yet we don't bless nobody. I just thank God I'm blessed to be a blessing. Well, start being a blessing. Don't try to do it. I'm trying to bless. No, just start doing it. Let that be your song, your new song. If I can help somebody as I travel along my way, then my living shall not be in vain. And you can go down and you can get real jazzy and fancy and say, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. You say, I got a feeling everything's going to be all right. When I heard these praise reports tonight, and just more people saying, hey, I was blind, and it was on the pick line. And I'm going to tell you about that pick line. That pick line, I almost took my mama out of here. At pick line, when I had pulmonary embolisms, and they didn't know how I got them, and they were like, we're going to have to do this line. I refused it. Because God said, if you go take this thing, you may not, you know, he told me I wasn't going to wake up. He's going to put you on there, you're not waking up. My wife was mad at me. My friends was upset. They were like, man, what are you doing? We'll get this done. I said, man, I refused it. I was down there. I was actually in the process of them about to do it. And it was like, you got to sign this paperwork. It's way over that. If anything happens, it's not our fault. And I said, man, I ain't cheating my family like that. And then God, the next day I was out of the hospital. But what I'm trying to tell you, your testimony can help somebody. your praise report can help somebody stop being silent. Let somebody know your story. Let somebody know your story, God's glory, and your living, what you went through, what you've gone through, what you're going through, shall not be in vain. All right, let's look at Psalm 19 in the New Living Translation. Now the psalmist just began to pen some things. You know, psalm is like a song, like some poetry. And just all the psalms, he said the heaven, watch this. The heavens proclaim the glory of God, but the skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. If the heavens do it, if the heavens do it, why are you so holy and why you don't do it? Why? As you said that, why do I not? Proclaim the glory of God. Why am I not the one to display his craftsmanship? See, I was a sin flawed soul turned to a masterpiece of grace. Why don't I scream that from the rooftops? You know what God has done for me. Say, look what the Lord has done. Why don't I tell you, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He said, day after day, they continue to speak. Night after night, they make him known. Let me tell you something. People that serve Satan wholeheartedly, those that say, man, I know I'm hellbound, I know it's this and that. I used to listen to Tupac rapping and all that in the darkness. But when I got out of that darkness, I used to tell my little cousin, I said, man, you hear what this man is saying? He had a verse that said, I know my destiny is hell, but did I fail? Baptized in eternal fire, he shed so many tears. And we used to listen to that stuff. Not only did we listen to it, we repeated it. Because it was repetitive music we listened to on a constant basis. Hey, listen to all the stuff these kids listen to now, you know. And they're saying the same hellish stuff day in, day out. So guess what? They continue to speak night after night. They make him known. They make their God known. Why don't we make our God known? You got the answer. You got the one and true living God. You have the truth. He said it. I'm saying how much you know you got it. He said, I'm the way. I'm the, you know what I mean? I'm the truth and I'm the life. But we want to sit down. The heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. Listen, he said, they speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. I'm going to read something to you. The best message ever preached was the one that will live. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom at his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. Sometimes you got to have that joy unspeakable when you can say, I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. I get joy when I think about what he's done for me. Joy, 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 joy. What he's done for me. Then you can just begin to just, you know, live that in your life, the joy, that the unspeakable joy that first and foremost, he woke me. He thought enough of me to wake me up. He thought enough of me to keep me protected when I'm on the highways. And listen, man, the way they drive here, every time I'm in the car, I think I'm going to be in some kind of crazy fatal accident, man. Because it's always, you know, it's probably about this whole country that I'm in, it's probably about 5 red lights in the entire country that I've seen. If I've seen that many. And they run the red lights. I mean, it's just a sense of lawlessness. You know, in the States, you can't cross over in the lines. But here, you can cross over the lines. You can drive on the curb. You can do all that stuff, man. And I'm talking like playing chicken. I've seen so many different near head-on collisions. I've been in bigger than the head-on collisions, and they just got to, you know, it's, thank God for keeping it. So when you wake up in the morning, or when you get a chance to lay your head on that bed, on that pillow, when you get back in the home from your busy day of work and the things that you've gone through throughout that day, thank God for keeping me. I think that we need to have more of an attitude of gratitude. Especially on the West, the Western Hemisphere, man, we're so spoiled. We serve a watered-down version of kingdom living. We don't know what it means to truly suffer. Yeah, we go through. Yeah, we have our pains. We have our hardships. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not going to deny nobody's hardship or nobody's heart pain or whatever. But what I'm trying to tell you is it's different. Paul talked about it. He said, at this point, you haven't had to come to bloodshed to serve your God. But over here, it's different. I went in the place I was in yesterday with my job. 2 years back, that place was bombed. It was grenades. They just came in. The Somalians came in and bombed the place, threw grenades in the place and everything, and blew it up. So in certain areas, they said people from the United States can only come on certain days and certain time frames because of those things, you know, for us, the protection of them. But you haven't had that problem. Another part of the continent, in Nigeria, pastor was killed and his church and school was burned to the ground because a Muslim kid converted to Christianity and left the West name, and then on the Sharia law, the family, the Islamic people was mad and they just retaliated. Chopped the man up with machetes and everything. So, you know, just to serve the Lord under such duress, you haven't had that problem. You haven't had to come to that. Now, it's time that it's coming to it. You can see how things are going now. You look at this vaccine. You know, if you don't take it, it's going to be this liberty. It's going to take from you that liberty. Taking from you. When you serve a God and say, he said before Christ, they were saying there were so many people that served the God that was looking for. They said were nomadic dwellers because the earth didn't fit them. And that's what you got to be a place where it doesn't fit me. The world doesn't fit me. And that they got to a place that I'm searching for a place. I'm searching for a home whose builder and maker is God, and that the handyman and the architect was God. And Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And they searched for that place that he said, I'm going to prepare for them. And that's the thing that you need to do, that we need to do in our hearts. We need to search for that place. He said, God has made a home in the heavens for the Son. So he made it for the Son. And so I know he made it for me. Christ said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And as I go to prepare this place for you, I'm going to come back to you and gather you to this home. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. It said it bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete, eager to run the race. Then it said the sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. What do you do in the morning? Do you rise early like that and follow your course? Or are there some detours? Even if there's some detours, you know, God allows those turns, but you got to just come to yourself. You know, the prodigal son said, when he came to himself, he said, man, the service of my Father is better than this. And then you come to a place of repentance. I'm just talking about tonight. Look what the Lord has done for you. Fresh blood running warm through you. Fresh blood running warm through your veins. Fresh breath flowing through your nostrils. Man, I dodged that bullet. You know, the mental health situation, you know, I was saying, Evangelist Flint and early this morning, my evening, her morning, and I was saying that in Marietta, it was a man that did a carjacking with a bow and arrow. And he pointed at the police and ended up being killed, but what was in his mind? What possessed him to do such things? A bow and arrow? He just said, don't take a knife to a gunfight. He took a bow and arrow. Carjacked the person. Put him on high speed, chased the police, got out of the car, pointed the bow and arrow at the police. And then it was murdered. But that's how the enemy does. But guess what? You serve a God that say, I come that you have life. And life to the full. I heard even since say, the enemy come to kill, steal, and to destroy. Then he comes seeking whom he may devour. But you got a shield on you. When you be going to talk about Ephesians 6 and 10, how God protects you with the full arm of God now that you begin to put on every morning. When you begin to talk about the things that you can do, you can cast down vain imaginations. You can pull down strongholds. When you begin to go to Psalm 91, we're in Psalm 19 now, but we flip it. Because you can deal with COVID-19, but you can flip it to Psalm 91 and say, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. You say, man, I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Or you can say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? See, these things that you can just build yourself up with throughout the day. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Knowing who you are, knowing whose you are. It said the instructions of the Lord. Here what we're going to go right now. It said, let me go to this verse 6 one more time. It said, the sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. Okay, well, here we go. Number 7 says, the instructions of the Lord are perfect. You understand that? If God told you to do some things like that, he said the instructions of the Lord, even waking up this morning, giving him the praise, even when you was instructed by the evangelist, as the Lord led him and said, hey, I'm going to let you press one and give your testimony, give your praise report, your prayer request. That was an instruction that came from the Lord. He said, the instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. Just imagine if you would have gave your testimony, gave your prayer support, how not only would it help you, but it would help somebody else. You know, you go through to get through. Everything that we struggle with, everything that we deal with is for a reason. And it's sometimes you feel it's for you, but it's not. Someone else, your experience can be somebody else's breakthrough. The fact that you came through it, I know what it's like. I've been here. I've done that. I wore those shoes. But God has brought me here. I was there, but that's where I am now. Look what the Lord has done. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold. Even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey. Even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant. A great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me, O Lord, from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. And I'll be free of guilt and innocent of great sin. Don't you always use you on this? So you want to know when you do the benediction? Psalm 19. It says, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord. My rock and my redeemer. So, Father, we thank you right now. Thank you for where we are. Thank you for where you've taken us to. Thank you for where you brought us from. And we just can't say thank you enough. We can't say thank you enough. We can't say thank you enough. You've been so good. You're better than we've been to ourselves, God. You've been better than we've been to ourselves. There is, I thank you. I'm telling you, listen, when you begin to walk and experience life, truly, truly life, truly living by the handiwork of God and like you said, by the word. He said, the laws of the Lord are true, each one is fair. and the instructions of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the commands of the Lord. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. Sometimes in the morning you say, God, what should I wear? What? Who do you want me to speak to, Lord? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? I remember before I was married, I was working for corporate America and I'm making good money. The Lord told me. He said, 4 hours was his. It could be 4 to 8, it was 6 to 10 or at this time. I was working before 4 o'clock in the morning. I said, my mom will talk about that. But from 6 in the morning to 10 o'clock in the morning was him. He was like, man. But then I had to make a choice. Because at 9 o'clock, I had 8 and 9, I need to be at my job. So God said, what's more important, doing what I tell you to do or punching that clock? I had to make a decision. So I left corporate America to serve God. I was daily on my face praying, praising. Didn't miss a meal, didn't skip a beat, didn't lose nothing. But look what the Lord has done, you know. So sometimes, you know, obedience is better than sacrifice. However, if you know the voice of God, and sometimes that, you know, we're used to a familiar voice and say, you know that, and he'll give you that voice. So now we got to exercise our consciousness. We got to exercise the gifts that God has given us to hear his voice. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And a stranger he won't adhere to. When I look at that, when I look at how faithful God is and how concerned he is about your well-being. And he said, I left the 99 to go and get the one. I don't know about you, but I was that one. Still am. He said, I left the 99 to go get that one. He's talking about us. Oh, Lord, this wretched man that I am, and this wretched man that I was, this wretched man that has encompassed me about, but God, he saw fit. He saw value. Said, I took you when you was in your waddling blood and when you came out the measures of your mother's womb and before they cleansed you up, before they clipped the umbilical cord, and I said, live. I proved blew breath in your nostrils, and I told you to live. And that's what God said. I'm telling you to live. 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 He said, I give you peace. Not as the world gives peace. My peace is different. My peace is from the kingdom of heaven. My peace is different. The life I give you is different. The joy I give you is different. The grace, the mercy, the love. You can't get this nowhere else. It's time to boast on your God. It's time to tell your story. Give God the glory. Each one reach one. Each one teach one. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Okay, well, go ahead and be that blessing. Father, we thank you right now. For clothed and dressed in a sound mind, a mind to praise you, a mind to worship you, a mind to serve you, a mind to seek you out of where you may be found, and a mind to be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Well, you said in John 4:23-24 that they that worship him, for God is a spirit. That's what he said. He said, but God is a spirit. First and foremost, and they that worship him shall worship him in spirit and in truth. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity to serve you. We give you honor, God, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. So it is. Turn over the events that remain, sir.
Praise God for that word. Thank God. We praise God for Pastor Flynn. We just continue to pray for him. And continue to pray for his well-being as he is in Kenya. And we just thank you, Lord God, for tonight, for that awesome word, for that awesome, awesome word. I told you God has something in store for you. And we're asking right now, this is the time that we add to take away. And if you came on later and have a testimony or praise report, this is your time before benediction. Just press 1 and I'll recognize you. Well, we just thank God for tonight. We just thank God for everything that he's done, doing and going to do in our lives. We just thank God that he sits for, okay, 6853, your line is open. It's 853, your line is open.
Good evening. I'm Carissa Taylor. To be here. I'm blessed to be able to come on this line for all the things that God has done for me. And he opened up so many doors this year. Although when I started off this year, I was very sick with the virus in the hospital. But God brought me through. And God let me know that he's going to hold my hand as I walk through everything that I go through. And I just want to give him the praise tonight. You know, because the person who knows God, hallelujah, is blessed. And I know him. I know what he can do. Because he brought me for a mighty long way. He brought me through so much illness in my life. And I give him the praise that I have reached into my 70th year. If I live and nothing happens to see next month, I'll be 71. That's a blessing that God has restored on me. So I just ask you that knows the word, the prayer, to pray much for me as I pray for you. Minister George, I'm praying that you have a safe return back to the state. And I love you dearly. And y'all have a blessed night.
Amen, amen, amen. And we love you dearly, Sister Chris. 6447, your line is open.
Thank you, Jesus. I'm so happy with that message that Pastor gave tonight. It had me thinking over what God has brought me from. And there's a song that says he keeps right on doing great things for me. If I had 10,000 hands, I couldn't praise him enough. 10,000 tongues. Oh, glory be to God. I just thank him because God just keeps doing great things for me. I can't even tell it all, but most of you have heard my testimonies of what God has done, even bringing me back to life. But I thank God that, and I say this because I give God the praise for Pastor Wonder. I thank him that this is twice that she has came to my rescue when there was no one else with me. And I thank God for that. Glory be to God. We all need somebody that can be there for us when we can't be for ourselves. I've had two TIAs now, the first one I was in the hospital, and the second was just a few days ago. But God, I mean, but God, he gave her to run and get some aspirin, help me to chew them, put them under my tongue. And what I was going through, as I kept those aspirin under my tongue, and then we began to swallow them, I began to feel things coming back into place, because I couldn't even, she couldn't make out anything I was trying to say until she heard the word stroke. And she ran to get what God was speaking into her heart to do it. God opened my door, told her when she got off work that I needed help, and sent her to my house. And I know the doors were locked. Even the screen door had a key. But she opened the door and walked right in. And that meant God, and it's not the first time, he's opened doors that were locked for me. Hallelujah. But I praise God that he told her what to do that time. I was having the worst of an asthma attack, and I haven't had one since. When God heals you, you stay healed. Hallelujah. And unless you begin to doubt, or people try to make you think that wasn't God, or that can't be, and let doubt get in you. But I just ask everyone, please acknowledge what God has done for you. Thank him for it. Give him the shoes that you have to go on your feet, and you have more than one pair of shoes. Most of everyone on the ground has more than one pair of shoes. But I was fortunate with a group to be able to give people, wash their feet, and give them a pair of flip-flops. And that was the most wonderful thing that we could give them. They were even going out and climbing back through the window and getting back in line so they could get another pair of flip-flops. You don't know, or you don't realize how good God is until you see what others are going through, and you can thank him that you have hot and cold clean running water. You don't have to go to a filthy, stinking river to get your water to bathe, to wash your clothes. Start being grateful. That's of essence for Pastor teaching us tonight. Be grateful for all the wondrous things that he has done for you. And I would thank him every day. I'll do it today before I go to sleep, because he keeps right on doing great things for me. God bless you. Pastor, you keep that. God use you. Yes.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. Pastor Flint, do you have any last words before I close out?
Hey, it's just amazing when you flow in what God has given you. Flow in your gifts. Don't take your gifts, don't take your talents for granted. Flow in the fact that you are a child of God, and identify yourself with who you are, and you're no longer identify yourself as the victim. But know that we are victorious. Know that this battle is not yours, it's the Lord's, and he has already won. So when Satan reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Remind him of his what's going on in his life, what's yet to come for him. And continue to press on. Press on in spite of yourself, in spite of your circumstances, in spite of what you've done, what you're going through, and where you think you may be headed to. In spite of, press on. so that you can say, look what the Lord has done. And one last thing, I'm sorry, and I'm going to end it with this because I have to be obedient. Because this is what he had me to be from the very beginning. So just give me 1 second, bear with me. And I just want to... First Corinthians, right? Third chapter. And Paul began to talk about how people was going on about him and Apollos, you know, and God's having balance. But he said, God said, it's not important who does the planting, who does the watering. What is important is that God makes the seed grow. See, the one who plants and the one who waters work together with the same purpose. And both will be rewarded for their own hard work. For we are both God's workers, and you are God's field. You are God's building. We are kingdom builders. Listen, lady, we are kingdom builders, so we can't, you know, get jealous about what somebody got, what somebody have, what somebody don't have. But know that you're here to do a job, you know, and do what God faith without works is dead. And you can't get it from your works, but, you know, faith takes works to do what God wants to do. Tell verse number 8, say, because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, and that's Jesus Christ. That's your foundation. Before you build a house, you lay the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus. When you tell somebody what brought you through, what made you better, it's Jesus. Yeshua, whatever you want to use, but that's it. That's the foundation. No other foundation than the one we already have. That's how God is telling you. You need to tell your testimony, you tell them it's Jesus. Yes, it was Jesus. It's Jesus. And my soul, though I have touched the hem of his garment, and his blood has made me whole. Father, we just thank you right now, God. We thank you for Jesus in our soul. We thank you for him in our bones, God. We thank him that in our heart, God. We thank you, God. He said, though I have touched the hem of his garment, his blood has made me whole. We on his love made me whole. And he said, this blood's for you, and this blood's for you, and this blood's for you. So they got blood-wise, and we got blood-wise. This blood's for you. Thank you for it again, God. Thank you, God, for testimonies, crazy reports. Thank that the joy of the Lord is our salvation. You know, we give you all, God, glory and praise in your Son, Jesus' name. We pray, God, keep everyone with a keeping anointing, God, and next Thursday, same time, same place. God, I expect to hear more testimonies and more praise reports for you. And how many... If you put the oil around your doorpost and say, this is my exodus of the weekend, and just begin to trust God. We thank you for your obedience. We give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Consider yourself dismissed. We love you and nothing you can do about it.
In Jesus' name, amen. Until next Thursday, have a blessed week.